of our words. Now, you know, this is not the first time I've ever talked about stuff like this, but it's just, sorry. Christianity is called the Great Confession. We have to confess to get saved. If you confess that the Lord Jesus, you know that one. And so we're working on getting skilled at confession. So many Christians who are defeated in life because they believe and confess the wrong things. They unknowingly speak the words of the enemy. And those words hold them in bondage. So let's go back to Proverbs 6:2, Lauren. You are snared by the words of your mouth, and you are taken by the words of your mouth. So last week, you guys know what this is. Snared means a trap. Your words will trap you. That's what Bible says, not me. This is what a snare, and I gave you all the definitions of that. But this is basically what it means. What you say traps you. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. It's what God created it's what God does. He's a speaking spirit. We're created in His image. We are speaking spirits. One of our biggest problems is too many people speak before they think about the consequences or the effects their words have on their lives, on someone else's lives, their health, their future, their finances, and their peace of mind. For the most part, Christians just haven't been taught the power they have right under their nose. Life and death, blessing and cursing, to build up, to tear down. We got it. So I just thought of this example. Take a very self-assured person who carries self-confidence with them. They're even fun to be around. And let's say someone they look up to and respect, maybe their success, their finances, but this successful person is arrogant. And he or she begins to say cutting things to that person, pointing out faults and tear down their self-confidence in that person. It may seem like it doesn't affect this person that's self-confident, fun to be around. But those words do damage. Don't kid yourself. Some say 17 to 1, some say 5 to 1, but last week I told you it's least that, to build that confidence back up. So when we see someone knocked down, we need to pour it on and to bless our brother and sister. And we can do that with our words. There's not a one of us that doesn't need to be built up at one time or another. Amen? Amen. So, that's not my message. Let's get to today's pep talk. Okay. So, last week I talked about the brain. I'm not bringing the brain out again. But your brain doesn't care, this is what I said, if the information is positive or negative. The brain doesn't care. It simply receives the message that you tell it. And then the brain proactively looks for an opportunity to make it happen. The brain likes to prove itself right. It does. In a well-known study of 180 patients, you know I've got these, with knee pain, doctors randomly separated them into three groups. One group would receive surgery to cut away and remove the cartilage, the loose cartilage. The second group would undergo lavage. And the third would, that's where they'd use the water and they get rid of it that way. The third would have the signs of surgery, but no actual treatment. The patients in the third group who underwent the pretend surgery received anesthesia and incisions on the knee as if surgical instruments had been inserted, but not. 2 years later, without any knowledge of the actual procedure done to them, patients who receive absolutely no treatment whatsoever reported the same amount of relief as those who received the actual treatment. Doctors concluded from their experiment that the brain believed and expected it would be healed, so it was. We must believe God's word is true. Okay, Lauren, I'm going to do Matthew, Mark, and Mark here. So Mark 9:23. 23. That is not it. Do I need to get my Bible? Not 24. Matthew, Mark. Oh, these are so small. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Not some things. He said all. All means all. Okay, you got 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. 11:23, Mark. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Did you notice how he used mountains? He didn't say, now, if that little bitty thing you're believing for, if you'll just speak to it, or if that easy project you're believing for, he said a mountain. He used mountains, which are impossible to the human eye. But this, what I just read to you, is a spiritual law. God never does anything without saying it first. God is a faith God. God releases his faith in words. You say, well, if God has to say it first, does he have to say something over my life? Like, I'm healed before I'm healed? He did. He's already said that. It's in his word. Does God say anything about my finances? He already did. My hope, he already did. My salvation, he doesn't write a new Bible every time we need something. Okay? It's in the Bible. That's what he said. Okay. Jesus tells us in Mark 11:22, have the God kind of faith or have faith in God. The Greek is have the God kind of faith. And we are to be imitators of God, according to Ephesians 5:1. So give me Psalms, Lauren, 119. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So what he says is settled. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't change in the new 2025 era. It didn't change in 1960. It didn't change in the 20s. It's forever established. What God said is already established and it stands firm. It's up to us now. And what are we going to say about it? We choose whose words we will establish on earth. Here's another story. Studies were conducted as far back as the 1920s by a French pharmacist, Emile Covey. I like how that sounds. He treated hundreds of patients each day with a dose of consistent affirmations. Patients were simply advised to repeat this phrase. Every day, in every way, I am getting better and better. No less than 20 times in the morning and no less than 20 times each night. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Thousands in the 1920s reported illnesses miraculously cleared up on their own. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Truly, our words create our reality. So what if we did this if we wanted to know if what we are saying is helping or hurting us? So practice making this statement after every phrase. And that's just the way I want it. No matter what I do, I can't lose weight. And that's just the way I want it. At this rate, I guess I'll be in debt for the rest of my life. And that's just the way I want it. Nothing good ever happens to me. And that's just the way I want it. Or, every day in every way, I'm getting better and better, and that's just the way I want it. My metabolism is working perfect and my body is responding. I weigh my perfect weight of however many pounds, and that's just the way I want it. I am blessed with an abundance of prosperity, and that's just the way I want it. I'm overwhelmed by God's favor in my life, and that's just the way I want it. Now, that will make a person think about what they're saying. It's not okay to be critical of yourself. It's not okay. Proverbs 12:6, I got this, Lauren. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. Our words, our mouth will deliver us from situations we don't want to be in. God wants to do big things in our life, but He can't if you have a negative, an insecure, an inferior mindset. Anytime God is ready to promote us to a new level, it always demands leaving a place of comfort and security. Boy, do I know that. You will have to leave your comfort in order to achieve your dreams. Example. Jake and Matt left a comfy, secure job that they both liked to start their business. They were paid well. They had company trucks. They were highly favored. I can't even tell you the little extras they got, but it was their dream to have their own business. But it cost them stepping out and getting out of their comfort zone and trusting God. So remember that four lepers sitting, this is in 2 Kings, sitting at the outside the city of Samaria, lepers, they weren't allowed in, hopeless situation, they asked each other, why are we sitting out here until we die? It dawned on them that if they stayed where they're at, they're going to die. And if they went in to the city, there was a famine. Either way, they would surely die. The place they were in represented transition. They were one action away from settling or starving. Or thriving, sorry. They made the decision to get up and go after food and riches from the enemy's camp. God caused them, now I love this part, caused them to sound like a mighty army, four of them, there was four of them, on the march against the enemy. And it says this, for the Lord had caused the Aramean camp to hear the sound of chariots, horses, and even the sound of a large army. All because they got up and went after what belonged to them. Amen. That's in 2 Kings chapter 7. They became fearless. Now listen to this. Naturally speaking, these four lepers were not mighty men. They were tired, they were weak, they were hungry, and they were handicapped. But they made a decision to stop living life defeated. They determined to go after the life God destined them to have. Not everyone's called to be a big businessman, a doctor, a bull rider, or a preacher, or a big whatever. It's not. You don't have to be, don't think, oh, I don't have a dream to be any of that. Are we going to sit by and watch others live their destiny while we waste our potential? There's something big in all of us. And some of you may be doing the big thing already. Or are we going to fight for what Jesus died to give us? In each of us, in each one of us, God has put something on our heart. Write a book. Believe for a promotion. Run for office. Resign a position. Start a home group. Support a ministry. Finance the gospel with your business. Or teach children's church. All of that. You can count on your mind to try and talk you out of what God has put in your heart. If we meditate on all our mistakes, we will never fulfill our dreams. We can't rehearse all of our past sins. It will make us feel incompetent and unqualified. Marshawn Daniels said this, if we allow ourselves to settle for less, no one is obligated to stop us. That's Satan's plan. He is our enemy who has one plan for our lives. Kill, steal, destroy. He is a master deceiver. He would love nothing more than to stop your future. He knows keeping us trapped in our place, filled with insecurities and consumed with inadequacies, keeps us stuck. Amen? So there's this tribe. There was this tribe in Asia. And when they, and what they would do is they would yell curses at their enemy. They wouldn't say stuff like, "May you die of disease in all your camp. May your swords rust. May you hunger and die of starvation." They didn't say things like that. Nope. The worst thing they could yell at their enemy was this: "May you stay in the same place forever." That was considered a curse. For you to stay in one place for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not talking about in your house or in living in Crane or living in Stone. I'm not talking about that. If we see ourselves as rejected or inferior, not enough, shy, insecure, and damaged, that's staying in the same place. That is Satan yelling at us, "May you stay locked in that story, that experience, that identity for the rest of your life." "Well, this happened to me when I was, and I just can't get over it." That's 70 years later. "I was this 40 years ago, and I'm still living out that insecurity." God doesn't want that. That's Satan cursing you. God has a different, beautiful plan for each of us. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knew that. That's why he sent Jesus, to make it go away, to make us whole, the redemptive plan. He knew it when you made the mistake. Last week I told you what a kintsugi was. Does anybody remember what that was? Oh, come on! The ones that were here, it's how it was the story of the Japanese man that sent his broken teacup off. Okay, you with me now? And you know, you kind of got to like that. He sent it off to China. And at the time in that era, the big deal was tea parties. I know that in Japan. And this expensive teacup he sent off, and it was cracked and broken, and he wanted it fixed. He sent it to China. Well, the China sent it back, and all it was stapled together, and it was ugly. He couldn't stand that. You know, I'm thinking they're precise. He was shogun. He was a shogun. So he gave it to a crafter in Japan, and they would take gold, and they would put it back together. I wish I had that picture. They'd take gold and make something ugly into something beautiful. And instead of hiding the flaws, he showed how the flaws made us beautiful. It was taking beauty, making beauty out of ashes. I didn't know she had that or not. So this week, I'm going to tell you the story of the golf ball. You wondered what that was, what? Yeah, no. That's, yeah, well, so you can see, the better to see it with. I might be able to hit that, baby. So did you know that golf balls started out smooth? When they were first created, it was a smooth surface. So here's what happened. As golfers used them several times, they noticed that the scuffed up balls traveled twice as far as the smooth ones. Then they said the smooth ball that's never been beat up and bruised can't even travel half the distance of the dimpled ones. If you are worn out and you feel beat up, it's a good indication you're going to go far in life. So think about certain people in life who got beat up. Dave Ramsey filed bankruptcy and had a massive financial mess. The dents in the road perfectly positioned him to teach millions how to have financial peace. I can say the same thing about Gary Cassie. For 9 years, his finances got worse and worse and worse. He was even on antidepressants. He got hold of what God said and now has a very successful ministry fixing the money thing. God spoke to him about killing a deer, and that's how he learned about his ministry. Those dents we have experienced position us to go further in life than you would have if everything was smooth and easy. Therefore, that means there's something for that. I have golf ball keychains for those of us. Not because you're avid golfers. I'm not. But to remind us, because we may feel a little scuffed up, but because of these scuffs, we are going far in life. Jesus said so. We can help more people with our bumps and dents and bruises than our success. What hurts us can heal others. Have you ever tried to talk to someone about, oh, say they've lost somebody, they've died, and you've never lost anybody in your life? You don't have a clue what that grief feels like. But that bump and bruise can help somebody else. You know what I'm saying? And it can be finances, you know, rags to riches story. It can be health. If you've never had a health problem in your life and you get around somebody that's been healed of cancer, watch out. It's going to get off on you. But if you've never been sick, you don't know what to say to someone. You don't know how to have compassion for them. You don't know what it's like maybe when their hair's falling out. You don't know what it's like when their guts are pouring out in the stool or they can't walk. And you know what I'm saying? But our bumps and bruises. So that's what this golf ball is about. Ephesians 3:20, Lauren. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes or dreams. Now, does that make a point? I mean, those are lots of things that tells us, hey, it's more than we were made for more. We were made for more. God has placed in you everything you need to fulfill your divine destiny as long as you are breathing. He is expecting you to have a vision for your life. God will come on the scene and help you fulfill your purpose, your destiny. We have to know and get a revelation of who we are in Christ. Jeremiah 1:5 says, and I got this, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. That's for each of us. So don't let the enemy scream curses at you and tell you that you're stuck. Stay put. You're not enough. Too many mistakes. It takes too much money. I'm just, you can just fill in the blank. Yell back. And loud, very loud if necessary. Hang on. There's no limit to what the Word of God can do in my life. So here we go. Here's your pep talk. I am valuable to God. Now you hoop and holler anytime you want to. I am chosen by God. I'm accepted and loved by God. I am forgiven by God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am unique. I am confident. I am bold. I am fearless and I am courageous. I am beautiful inside and out. Woo! I am healthy. Yes. I am strong. I'm creative. That would take some faith. I am fearful of God. I'm favored of God. I am wealthy. Yes. I'm always learning and growing. I'm sensitive to God's voice. I have the mind of Christ. I'm fun to be around. I'm thoughtful. I have the peace of God. I'm merciful. I walk in love. I am precious in God's eyes. I walk in humility. I love to worship God. I honor God with my thoughts, words, and actions. I understand God's word. I love to pray. Let me throw this in. I'm a great basketball player. I'm a great softball player. I play volleyball like no other. I can spike and jump higher than anybody. I can make a three-point. I can do this. You can say those things because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I devote time with the Lord every day. I know God's voice and I follow it. I operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Are you feeling good? I walk in the fruits of the Spirit. I forgive those who have hurt me. I live life to the fullest.
Hang on, I got more.
I honor God in everything I do. I am confident in who I am in Christ. Whew. Say that over yourself 20 times a day. I got more. I could do more, but I'll close with this. God didn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He is counting on you using the weapon he is giving you, your mouth, to bring about change. He can't use you publicly until you have gotten victory privately. We defeat wrong thoughts with words, not with thoughts. Thoughts won't change things, but our words do. God's word is the highest form of reality that exists. Don't give up on it. His word never fails. It's established. Every single time you declare faith-filled words out of your mouth, things are changing. James 1:22 says this, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Don't just listen. He says, do what it says. Amen. Isn't that great? It's our words, people. It's our words. And like I said, you know, maybe the first time, it didn't come fast. It doesn't come overnight. Lauren says, I make the kids sound awful, but it was so nice to have kids around and say, Mom, do you really mean that? Is that just what you want? So figure out what God wants you to do. And let me tell you another thing. When we go to God and we've got a dream, He doesn't say, bring your birth certificate. Because if you're a certain age, it doesn't work anymore. Mm-mm. You're His kid. You're His kid. And so let me just, I'm going to add one more thing just to back that up. You're going to like this, trust me. Morgan Freeman was 50 before he got his big break in Hollywood. Lucille Ball was 40 when she started I Love Lucy. Sam Walton was 44 when he founded Walmart. Ray Kroc was 52 when he started McDonald's. And what we wouldn't give for a 1970s Big Mac. Right, Tammy? Thank you. Frank Sinatra was 58 when he reignited his career. Betty Ford was 64 when she opened her own clinic for substance abuse. Noah Webster was 69 when he published the dictionary. Nelson Mandela was 71 when he gained his freedom. Claude Monet was 74 when he started painting water lilies. Grandma Moses was 78 when she began her career as a serious painter. Ben Franklin was 79 when he invented the bifocal lens. And Jessica Tandy was 80 when she won her first Oscar. It's not too late. It's not too late to start your dream. It's not too late. Now, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a movie star. You don't have to do anything. But maybe you just want your own home. Maybe you just want to be out of debt. Maybe you want to, like I said, start a ministry in your home, or you want to whatever. We don't judge dreams by how great and big and magnificent they are. It's what God put inside of you. It's what God put inside of you. So, we good?